Good morning, Dan and Amy. Well, it turns out that a pencil-necked progressive buoyed by the Democrats' culture of hate, plus $40 million or so, was, well, I guess 25 to 30 for him, was not enough to carry John Ossoff to victory in yesterday's special election in Georgia. Karen Handel.
Oh, yeah.
By contrast to John Ossoff, an adult who's actually lived a life. She was victorious, and she didn't spend a lot of time talking about Trump in the campaign because he didn't do particularly well in that district, despite it being, a decidedly Republican district. But she did make mention of him in her victory speech.
And a special thanks to the President of the United States of America. Great Vice President Mike Pence.
And then you ask, what should Democrats take away from the most expensive House loss in U.S. history? Well, John Ossoff, he's down but not defeated.
This is not the outcome any of us were hoping for. But this is the beginning of something much bigger than us. It's extraordinary what you have done here. The fight goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you hear him shouting, 2018, John?
Yeah.
Don't go. We love you.
Turns out that, I'm trying to find a Hansel and Gretel reference here. Handel and Gretel. So Handel and Gretel push John Ossoff into the oven, and Trump is Gretel? I don't know.
Well, the referendum against Trump didn't work.
It's tough to pull a nursery rhyme.
Yes, it is.
Metaphor out, sorry. Should keep those thoughts to myself. For more thoughts on this race and the policy implications, particularly with the Obamacare replacement offering from Senate Republicans due out tomorrow, we're pleased to be joined by CNN senior economist, Wall Street Journal columnist, former Trump economic advisor, Steve Moore. Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. By the way, that's 4-0 that Republicans are in these special election districts, and every one of them, Democrats played big time in. They thought they were going to sweep them, and they lost every single one of them. You don't want to read too much. I thought Karen Handel was going to lose, for sure. I mean, I thought there was so much energy on the left. And that hasn't happened in any of those races, not the one in Montana, not this one. And I think back in 93, when Clinton took over, and in 2009, when Obama came over, the Republicans won all those special elections, remember? I mean, there was a kind of a rage on the right. Maybe Donald Trump isn't quite as unpopular as the left thinks he is.
Yeah, I mean, but I thought Karen Handel was going to lose, too, up until the shooting in Alexandria. And somebody used it as a campaign ad, a super PAC did, but there's so much anger on the left, that coupled with the fact with Kathy Griffin holding Trump's bloodied head. I just think that there was so much anger on the left. If I was an undecided voter, I'd say, which team do I want to be on? Which side do I want to be on?
You know, Amy, I think you've nailed it. I think that there's so much derangement on the left today, what I call anti-Trump derangement, that it has caused a backlash among just sensible people who say, wait a minute, we want to put these morons in charge? I think that, Democrats are going to probably win a lot of seats in 2018. That's normally what happens in the off-year election when you're out of power. But they are their own worst enemies. They don't have any agenda of their own. All they can do is run around making these crazy statements about Trump. Look, Trump has made a lot of unforced errors himself that have given material to the left. But, I do CNN now, as you guys know. I mean, all they've covered for the last 3 weeks is Comey and Russia. And almost nothing else besides those two stories, 24/7. I think that the left has to get over themselves. I think they're going to have to come up with some kind of agenda, and we'll see whether that happens. But, they dumped so much money into this race. It was unbelievable for them. I'd like to see, Dan, how much money they spent per vote they got.
Yeah, right. I mean, what do you get, about 110,000, 115,000 votes, Ossoff? Mm-hmm. It's a big number. By the way, just to correct the record, and we don't want to get too full of ourselves, it actually turned out the Democrats won the first seven special elections.
Yeah, there was one.
No, they won seven. They won the first seven between Obama's inauguration and the 10 midterms where they lost the House.
These were the races that they poured the most. These were the ones that were the most contended, especially the Montana race and the
Georgia race
in in Georgia, and there were those just whole high profile. They tried to make them, they nationalized those races, and it didn't work.
Well, there's no question about that. Now the question is, while the left is scrambling to come up with an agenda, things like their how they would improve Obamacare, since they concede the point that it needs to be improved, but they haven't come up with their unifying idea. What
you mean, the Democrats or the Republicans?
Well, the Democrats too. I mean, that you have Matt Iglesias.
Well, let me correct you on that one. They do have a unifying idea in health care. You know that.
Single payer.
They want a single payer.
But a lot of Democrats aren't willing to say that publicly. So that's not that, you know, that's, that doesn't work.
I mean, I think most Americans know that's where they want to go. I mean, that's where, look, Dan, I mean, that's, as you know, that's where Obama wanted to go.
Well, I understand. But that's not what he sold. I mean, I think I'm talking about what they're going to sell. And
so I don't think the American people are that stupid. I think they understand exactly what Democrats want to do. I mean, by the way, Bernie Sanders, who's the de facto leader of the Democratic Party today, has been at least honest. He said, I want the government to run the health care system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, American people are going to have to decide, because if you put these people in charge, that's exactly where we're going.
Oh, I
get that.
Yeah. And tomorrow's a big reveal. Mitch McConnell's going to come out and say, what's in this new health care plan? Because Senator Mike Lee, who's supposed to be part of the process, has seemed to be left out of the process.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem. You're right, Amy. And here's the problem with the Republicans is they don't want to tell the American people what they're for. You know, I mean, I've been talking to some of these Republicans, their senators. They say the strategy is, you know, hide this bill from the public, you know, have a quick vote on it before anybody can, you know, can find out what's in it. I mean, that sounds like what the Democrats did, right?
Right.
You know, Nancy Pelosi saying, well, you know, we'll read the bill after we pass it. So I think Republicans have to articulate to the American people what they're for in healthcare. And how hard is that to do? Saying, we want more competition. We want more choice. We want, you know, consumers and patients to have affordable care, but through, you know, buying insurance across state lines, by having the ability to buy, high deductible plans that don't cost a lot. The other idea I like a lot, I wish Republicans would talk more about, Dan Amy, is this idea of transparency and pricing. Every time you go to a hospital, a doctor, those hospitals and doctors should put right on the, you know, when you walk in, here's what it costs. You know, I mean, what other service do we get in America today where they don't list the prices?
Well, so you've got the Senate's Republicans coming out with their proposal tomorrow, and that perhaps was, or we'll find out, was informed by a letter the Republican Study Committee members sent over from the House, including their must-haves in whatever the Senate puts forward, and then you'll have it reconciled and so forth. But what is your sense of Paul Ryan and McConnell telegraphing to Paul Ryan what's going to be included and getting to conference and getting this move to the president's desk before August?
You know, I honestly don't know. You know, I don't think anybody really knows what they really have held that hand very close to their vest. I do think it will be, what was the term that Trump used yesterday? We want a, how did he describe it, a more humane?
Nice,
I forget the term that he used. I think it'll have more protections for people with pre-existing conditions. I think that it'll have some kind of phase-in so that people don't immediately lose you know, their benefits under Obamacare. That headline of 18 million people losing their health insurance is a killer for Republicans, although I think it's completely dishonest, because the big story that nobody in the media wants to cover is that Obamacare truly is melting down right before our very eyes. In almost every state in the country, you know, first of all, you're seeing dramatically higher prices. You know, prices of, you know, in some states that have doubled in the last 3 years. I mean, that's not affordable care. The other thing that's happening is insurance companies are just dropping out of the market. So there are a lot of areas in the country now where you don't have any insurance companies left. And you're going to need the government to do it, because they've driven up the cost so much that no private company can do it. So I think Republicans have to make this case very clearly to people. Look, maybe some people are going to lose their insurance under our plan, but everybody's going to lose their insurance under Obamacare, because there's not going to be any insurance market left. It's truly in a death spiral.
Yesterday, Paul Ryan revealed a new tax plan where he wanted to go from 7 to 3. Talk about that.
Yeah, so Larry Kudlow and I and our laugher have a statement we're coming out with today that, you know, we've been trying to sell to the White House and Republican leaders, and there's been a lot of receptivity of just keep it simple. You know, they're not gonna overhaul the entire tax system this year. It just isn't gonna happen. There's not enough time. There's not enough preparation. You know, the idea that they're gonna have, you know, rewrite the 60,000-page tax code. As much as I'd love to see that done, I mean, Dan, you've known me for a long time. I mean, this is the issue that makes me tick. So we're just saying, just do three things. Number one, cut the business tax rate, which will bring a lot of jobs back to the United States. We're totally uncompetitive. Number two, do the repatriation. Let companies bring their money back to the United States. We estimate there's about $2 trillion. Apple just a few weeks ago said they have $250 billion. They'll bring back if you just charge them 10% to bring the money back to the United States. And number three, just do something for individuals and families. Just double the what's called the standard deduction. So you know put $1,500 more in the pockets of middle class families. If you just did those three things, you've got a bill that you could pass, I think, tomorrow in the House and Senate. I think it would no problem. Now you have to do it with 51 votes. You know, because you're not going to get a single Democrat to vote for it in the Senate. But under these, you know, budget rules, you can do that. You can pass this under reconciliation with 51 votes. It will have to be. Now here's the catch: it will have to be temporary. But temporary could be 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And you know, I agree with Steve Forbes on this. I mean, since everything in the Washington
that's our time in this mortal coil is temporary.
Exactly.
If
they get that done, Dan, that's going to be juice for the economy. That's going to get people back to work. That's going to bring in capital and businesses back to the United States. And then you get the economy growing faster. Because, look, the big story right now in the economy is investors and CEOs and employers are getting nervous about whether this tax cut actually is going to happen. And I would make the case we made, Larry and I, at the White House last week to these guys is, look, if you don't get this done this year, it's going to hurt the economy because there's already this expectation built into the market that this is going to happen, this anticipation effect. If they don't get it done, I think there's going to be a sell-off in the stock market. I think you're going to get employers to pull back. It'll be worse than doing nothing.
He is Steve Moore, one-third of the free market junta of Laffer, Moore, and Kudlow. Steve Moore, thanks for joining us. As always, appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great week. Take care.
You too. And he joined us on our Turnkey.pro answer line.